those who are present who do nothing but criticize. They criticize the players, the coaches, the refs, and even the people in the crowd. I believe that critical people view others through their own spotted view. The dirt on their hearts causes them to see everything from an unclean and critical perspective. They become angry at what they perceive to be dirt on other people when in reality they are looking at others through the dirt on their own hearts. The same is true for those with a pure heart. They see the good in people regardless of people's circumstances. They see the good from the purity of their hearts. I'm reminded of a story about a little girl. She was on her way to her grandmother's house. She was going through the mountains, and she was on her way to her grandmother's house. So she went down this path, and she heard a rustle at her feet. She looked down, and she saw a snake. And the snake began to talk to her, and he spoke to her. He said, "I am about to die." He said, "It's too cold for me up here, and I am freezing. There is no food in these mountains, and I am starving. Please put me under your coat and take me with you." "No," replied the little girl. "I know your kind. You're a rattlesnake, and if I pick you up, you're going to bite me, and your bite is poisonous." "No, no," said the snake. "If you help me, you will be my best friend. I will treat you differently." The young girl, she sat down on a rock, contemplating her decision. She looked at this beautiful, the beautiful markings on the snake, and she had to admit that it was the most beautiful snake that she had ever seen. Suddenly, she said, "Okay, I believe you. I will save you. All living things deserve to be treated with kindness." She then reached over, she put the snake gently under her coat and continued toward her grandmother's house. Within a moment, she felt a sharp pain in her side. The snake had bit her. She said, "How could you do this to me? You promised that you wouldn't bite me, and I trusted you." The snake shouted, "You knew what I was when you picked me up," and he hissed and slithered away. See, this story reminds us as Christians, it's important for us to have discernment for God. It's important for us to have discernment from God and to know the difference in who we are dealing with. As Christians, we know that there are two kinds of people, those who are followers of Christ and those who are not. It's really important for us to know the difference. There are participants and there are spectators. That's why I am so glad that you are here today, because we all have an opportunity to participate and to get in the game. But it's important for us to know who we're dealing with. See, last week, hands were raised, and we came to the agreement that the job of the church is not to just impact the church, but the job as the church is to impact the community, our surroundings, and the world. I believe that's why Jesus says in Matthew's, the 5th chapter, verses 13 and 16, that we, the church, are the salt of the earth, and we, the church, are the light of the world. If you don't mind participating a little bit with me, say this with me. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I ask you to say it with me, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, according to Romans 10 and 17. In both instances, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Jesus tells us that our lives need to be the source of inspiration, hope, joy, peace, and love to people all around us. Our lives need to make a positive difference in the world, because both salt and light make a positive difference. Salt is essential for life. You may be asking me, how is salt essential for life? Thank you. Well, I'm glad you asked. Salt plays a crucial role in maintaining human health. It is the main source of sodium and chloride ions in the human diet. Sodium is essential for the nerve and muscular function. It also involves regulation of the body's fluids. When the body does not have the proper salt in it, it becomes dehydrated. Dehydration can be life-threatening. You've ever heard them talk about you need to replace your electrolytes? Well, that's salt. Okay, so you get it. Salt is also used as a preservative for flavoring. So like salt, we are to help preserve life. We are to keep good. We are to keep life good and godly. We are to make it pleasant and enjoyable. Our presence should add a little flavor, such as joy and love, to the lives of those around us. A light brings hope in darkness. It provides guidance and direction. But light is also essential for life. Okay, I'm glad you asked, how is light essential for life? Light boosts the body's vitamin D storage. Vitamin D is important for absorbing calcium and promoting bone health and growth. Light helps prevent certain types of diseases. Light is important for it carries the energy required to sustain life. Jesus said in Matthew's, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I believe that that is exactly what happens here at Breckenridge United Methodist Church. You all are great at opening your hearts and extending hospitality to those who are in need. How you supported the Hopkins, the Aldrich, the McLean, the Peters, and the Crippens family is amazing. You come together when a member is in need. You are all amazing in how you show the family such love and support. Whether it was a kind word, a dish, a call, a prayer, or whatever it was, you allowed your light to shine. When you look up here on this altar, you are some amazing people. How you allow your light to shine so that others may see and give God glory. The thing about it, that you, the members of Breckenridge United Methodist Church, don't live lives of faith to make yourselves look good, but we do it to improve the lives of others and to the glory of God. As I contemplated scripture, one of the important things about Jesus' sermon is to make sure we always look at the larger context to understand more fully what Jesus is saying. And I believe you get it. I believe that you get it, that it's important for us to be the salt and the light of the earth. And as people see this, they see God. Jesus always says that when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So what some would take that, let me do this again. And as people see this, they see God. Jesus also said that when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. See, some would take those two contexts as a contradiction, but I conclude from this, that there are times when we need to act and to work quietly, and there are also times when we need to allow our deeds and our actions to be seen and celebrated. In doing this, God is visible in the world. That's why it's important for us to remain so close to God that God will give shape to our actions. Being salt and light in our world means that we are vessels of hope, joy, peace, and love. Who wouldn't want to be around a person like that? I don't know about you, but I would much rather be around someone filled with joy than someone who sucks the joy out of the room. Okay, is it just me? Yeah, okay, it's just me. So we all agree. I would much rather be around someone who is filled with love than someone who is filled with so much rage and anger. I would much rather be around someone whose heart loves people, genuinely loves people, than someone who is filled with so much anger. We are to love God and love people and make disciples of Jesus Christ to impact positive change for the world. We love God, love people, and make disciples. Jesus in the Great Commission instructs his followers, those living over 2,000 years ago and us living today, to go make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It is important to introduce people to the living God and help them grow in their relationship with Him. It is our goal and the mission as Christians, as the church, to make disciples for Jesus Christ. But making disciples is not something reserved for only pastors, preachers, ministers, or church leaders. It is the responsibility of all believers. Somebody say all. All. So that means you and me. It is the responsibility of all believers of the church. So the question becomes, who are you discipling? The discipleship process is being in relationship and following the examples of Jesus Christ. It's providing others with tools that they need to follow Christ's example, no matter what shape it takes. Making disciples is our responsibility. It is a process. Making disciples rarely follow a prescribed timeline. Mentoring relationships can be formalized along certain time boundaries, which are helpful in tracking progress. But the spiritual maturing process is not one that adheres to a calendar. It takes time. This is why relationships are so important in this process. Development of disciples of Christ, spending time together and getting to know one another, disciples can aid in the process and produce amazing results. We have to remember, we ourselves are still in the process. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. This is a process, and it's an ongoing process. And so when we enter into relationship with others, we have to remember, just like us, they're not perfect either. We have to remember that we ourselves are still in this process. Although many of us, especially church leaders, have been called to disciple others, we must remember that discipleship process is a continual one that is not complete until we meet Jesus. We are constantly learning more about our Savior each and every day. We are developing daily into more Christ-like servants of God. The constant time of development produces results in our own lives and in the lives of those whom we are discipling. It will teach them valuable lessons, but it will also grow our relationship as we see that we're not perfect. Be in constant communion with the Lord and walk with Him, seeking out ways you can become more like Him. Those you are discipling will want to follow in your ways as you both draw closer to our God. Sometimes, despite our best effort, those we're discipling aren't making any progress, the kind of progress that we imagine, but that's okay. The responsibility of bringing about growth is fully upon the Holy Spirit. We can guide them in the right direction and commit their growth to prayer, but we must wait on the Lord for His work in their lives. Have you ever heard that saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink? So don't be discouraged if the growth is coming slowly. Nothing is too slow for God, and His timing is always, always perfect. Be patient and wait on the Lord. Continue to build your relationship and faith. Do your part in making disciples. We must work together as the body of Christ to follow the Great Commission and to make disciples in our communities and around the world. You are the salt and the light of the earth, the word of God for the people of God. Thank you, God.